first Sunday of the month, and as such, we are looking at one of our songs, and I told the class Wednesday night I still wasn't sure. I had several songs I was thinking about. Turns out one of the ones I was thinking about we've already done a lesson on, so I had to mark that one off the list. But this was one that kept popping up, and this is a song that I have known, not be as far back as some of y'all, but I've known this song for a good long while. One that I've heard is one that I remember my dad leading regularly. A song that he liked. I'll Fly Away. And the reason for choosing this song is because it is a song I think that is very helpful in keeping our hopes up. In keeping us focused on what is coming rather than what we're having to work through right now. As the text that Brother Bill read for us a moment ago says, the psalmist there, David, says, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest." And if you were to look at song number 436 in our song books, you would find that scripture. Psalm 55 and verse 6, I think it is, listed there is the scripture for this song. And in thinking about this song, of course, I've got some lessons in various other places where I can look and I can see who wrote the song, where it came from, and a little bit of the story of the author of this song was kind of interesting because I kind of felt like if I knew how to write songs, I could have come up with a song similar to this in that the particular situation he was in. Mr. Albert Edward Brumley, and you've probably seen his name on several of our songs because he wrote a number of songs. He wrote this song in 1929. He was born in 1905 in Oklahoma, and he went to a lot of singing schools and something also listed there is normals. Some of y'all may know more about what normals are than I do, but it's some kind of teaching situation or learning. But anyway, he learned music at those. In fact, he later on taught in many singing schools in Arkansas and Oklahoma and Missouri. So he's almost a local boy. In 1929, he was picking cotton and singing the popular song, "If I Had the Wings of an Angel." When suddenly he thought about flying away from the cotton field and penned one of his first and perhaps best known songs. And that just kind of touched me a little bit because I've never been in a cotton field picking cotton. I have spent a little time hoeing corn. And I can see myself in that situation trying to think, there's got to be something better than this. I think we've all found ourselves in that situation in one way or another. Either we've got troubles in our life, we've got difficulties coming up, we're trying to work our way through school or the drudgery of the day-to-day job, and I think all of us could, and probably have at some time or another, thought, if there was just a way I could get away from all this. All of us don't have a big old pasture out back behind our house and tractors and bulldozers like Jimmy does to get away from all of this. But I think all of us understand that. That idea of, I want to get away from this. And that's the message of this song, I think. It's a reminder that if we can just work through what's going on now, if we can just stand with it, we've got a hope of going and being away from all of this. And I think that is a blessed thought. That is a blessing that we as children of God are the only ones who truly have. We have that hope of getting away from all of this and being at rest. And so we want to look at the song, "I'll Fly Away," this morning because I think it should work on our attitude toward death as well. Most of the world doesn't look forward to death. And I'm not saying that we're going to look forward to dying, but we look forward to what comes after death. And I think that's a part of what this song helps us with. Because when we look at the first verse of this song, it really tells us that when we leave this life, when we fly away, we're flying away to a new life. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. To a home on God's celestial shore, I'll fly away. One of the things that came to mind example-wise when I was thinking about this particular verse of the song is we're in the summertime where a lot of folks are looking forward to vacations. And that's another means of getting away from things. And we understand that thought. We used to go to grandmother's in the summertime. We look forward to that. When our kids were still at home and young, we, kind of like Crystal there, we went to Alabama to be with our friends and such at camp. And it was something to look forward to. And I know when I was in school, that was one of the things that kept me going. That I knew when I got through with this grade, there'd be a little time and then we'd be able to go and see grandmother and see her cousins. Or we would be out of school. And I think that's kind of the idea. We have a new life ahead of us when we leave here. We need to be looking forward to flying away from here to go and be with God. Because as the Hebrew writer tells us, it's appointed for men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And we read that and we think, oh wait, that's not a good... Oh, but it is. Because for us as Christians, judgment means we get to go and be with God. The psalmist said in Psalm 30 and verse 5, His anger is but for a moment, His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. We may have to endure some difficult times, but the promise that we have is eternal, never ending. And it should bring us great joy to think about that. We have a home with God that's waiting for us. It's there. It's ready. John told his apostles in John 14 and verse 1 through 6, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Jesus said, there's a place for you in heaven. It is prepared for us. Jesus has done the work, the things that needed to be done in order for us to be at home with God in heaven. All we've got to do is serve God faithfully here upon this earth so we can go there when this life comes to an end. And while yes, as we've talked about in the past, this particular instance, Jesus is talking to His apostles, the 12. But He told them to teach us all the things that they had been taught. And we have multiple places in Scripture that emphasize this idea that it's not just here and now. We have a place waiting for us in heaven. And that place is going to be with God. We've been studying that in the book of Revelation. That there's a rest that's coming. And we're really fixing to get into it pretty quickly in our Wednesday night Bible class as we come to the end of that book. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in the first of that chapter, said, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed while we are in this tent we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that which is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now He who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." There we see that same kind of imagery that Jesus gave to His apostles. Paul says, we have a place we're living now. But it's going to deteriorate. It's going to fall apart. It's going to come to an end. And because we have listened to God, we've taken advantage of the message of the Spirit, we have a dwelling place in heaven that will last for all eternity. We get to go home and be with God. We begin a new life. What a wonderful thought. I think that's something that should help us in our everyday life when we're slogging through the workday, trying to get through. Just stop and think, one of these days, it'll be a new morning and I will fly away to go and be with God for all eternity. I will fly to my home on God's celestial shore. I'll tell you what, one of the other reasons I like this song, it's a wonderful song for keeping us upbeat about, you know, what's going on, but it's short and easy to remember too. It's short and easy to remember. I mean, the main words are, I'll fly away. If you can remember those and remember much of anything, if you could do your multiplication tables, you can remember this song. If you could do, I'm not saying if you could do them now. If you memorize them, could do them before, you can remember this song. Not only does it talk about us going to a new life, but it says we're flying away from. And I think that's another important part for us to look at. We're flying away from the darkness and bondage that we are in here upon this earth. When the shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. Now, I really think that idea of shadows growing is talking about when I come to the end of my life. Much like the shadows grow at the end of the day. We don't think about shadows growing at the beginning of the day. We think about shadows growing at the end of the day. Because the light grows at the beginning of the day. And we sometimes think of life in those terms. We have the beginning of life where the light is coming in, but as we draw to the close of our life, there's more shadows. It's a darker time. We kind of look at it in that light. And Jesus in John chapter 9 and verse 4 said, we must work the works of Him who sent me while as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. That's the same idea that we're going to get to a point to where we're not able anymore. And when we get to that point, what we need to remember is we're near the time when we will leave this life. We will leave it behind and we will go to be with the Father. Also, I want us to note that the closer we get to the light, the more the shadows of this life become evident. The more you know about the Word of God, the more prominent the wickedness around you comes. It's kind of like if we've seen and know what fresh, clear, mountain-running streams look like, when we see the polluted creeks and ditches, it's that much more obvious. It's like the old example that I used to use years ago. Have a black chalkboard and put a little white dot in the middle. I've also seen that done with the white boards and a little black dot in the middle. The more familiar you are with purity, the more likely you are to see impurity. You'll notice. It will stand out because of the difference. And so I kind of think of that when we think of this idea of darkness as well. The more we are with God, the more evident the wickedness, the darkness of this world is to us. But through Christ, we are free from those things. And that's what this talks about. It says, like a bird from prison bars is flown. And I have to be honest. While I was studying on this, every time I read that phrase, I thought about Johnny Cash's song about being in prison and wanting to get on the train and be gone. Some of y'all probably know that song by heart. I don't know, but we've all probably heard it at some time or another. And it's the idea of, I want to escape from this. And that's what this song is saying. There's a time coming when we will escape from this. Because we are in a life of bondage and constriction. We're living in a world of darkness, filled with sin. And Paul reminds us that it's not just other people. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, beginning of verse 23, I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Now he goes on to tell us Christ set us free. He sets us free from the body of this death. But Paul says this is something he's dealing with right then. What I want to do, what I know I ought to do, I don't do, what I don't want to do, what I know I shouldn't have anything to do with, I end up engaging in. As long as we're here upon this earth, we're going to be beset by sin. We're going to be beset by wickedness. And it's going to pull us in. And we need to be constantly on guard against that so that we don't get caught up and pulled away from God. But there's a time coming when we won't be with that anymore. We will fly away from that darkness and bondage. Paul told the Ephesian brethren in Ephesians 4, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that if you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they having become callous have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Paul says you need to work to make sure you don't get caught up in that stuff and get dragged back into it. It's a constant battle that we have here upon this earth. Just like that grass in the corn I was having to hoe was a constant battle. If we want to remain pure, we have to be fighting against that. And so one of the things this song reminds us is that one day we can fly away from that. We'll be gone from the darkness and bondage that we're beset by here upon this earth. In Psalm 90, I believe Moses wrote this one, or it's recorded as being written by him, but in Psalm 90, beginning in verse 7, for we have been consumed by your anger and by your wrath, we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence, for all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years with a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone, and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. As I read that, teach us to number our days, I kind of remembered Paul saying we needed to redeem the time. We need to be careful how we conduct ourselves because our life is short. We don't always think about it in that manner, but we're reminded time and time again that our life is short. And maybe that's a part of this blessing of recognizing that, okay, I may be here 70 or 80, 90 years, some may last to 100, but it's still just a short while in the grand scheme of things. And if I can just get through this, if I can make it to the end of this row and get the next row done, I'll get to the short rows eventually, and then we'll be out of here. And I can go off and do what else needs to be done. I can do more enjoyable things. In the end, we will fly away from all of this. be gone. If we can just remain faithful while we're here. If we just keep plugging away at what we must do. That leads us to verse 3 that reminds us that we can fly away from the struggle and sorrow that we endure here in this life. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. Have you ever had a week where you were happy every moment all week long? Nothing went wrong. Everything went just like it was supposed to. Have you ever had a day like that? Tell you what, if you do, they're few and far between, aren't they? Our days are a constant struggle. That's why they're called a few more weary days. They're a constant struggle. Not just a spiritual struggle. Certainly they're a spiritual struggle for those of us who are trying to remain pure in the midst of all the wickedness of this world. But it's a physical struggle too. Sometimes it's hard to get out of bed in the morning because everything hurts. Sometimes it's the particular task that we have to engage in that day. It's hard and difficult, kind of like hoeing cotton would be probably. Sometimes it's family problems that we're having to deal with, or it's financial problems we're having to deal with. Our days are filled with toil and struggle, both physical and spiritual. But one day, those days will end, and then we can fly away to a land where joy shall never end. Peter tells us all flesh is like grass and all its glory, like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off. We're getting into the warmer part of our year. And you've probably noticed the flowers aren't as bright. Grass is a little duller. We've been able to get a little rain off and on to kind of refreshen it every now and then. But things are going to start turning brown. You know why? Because that grass is struggling to remain. Just like we're struggling each and every day to keep ourselves afloat, to keep going, to keep doing what we know is right. Our days are weary days. But Paul told the Corinthian brethren in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, therefore we do not lose heart. We hold on. We don't lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For the momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul's saying the same thing here that verse 3 of this song says. We've just got a few weary days. And then it's all going to get better. Don't lose heart. Because this is a momentary light affliction. If we bear through it, if we overcome. Remember the letters to the seven churches of Asia there in the book of Revelation? If you can just bear through this and overcome these temptations, these trials, these sins that are popping up around you, there are better things ahead. Paul says we have an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. We get focused on what we can see. And sometimes we get so focused on what we can see that we forget about what we cannot see. And we need to turn that around. We need to put our focus on what's coming, on what we have faith in, on what we cannot see, the things that have been promised. It's not that there are things that might not happen. We've got assurance from God that He keeps His promises. He's demonstrated time and time again that He keeps His promises. And He's promised us a better place. And we need to take our eyes off of the things here, the temporal, the temporary, and put our focus on the eternal. As the Hebrew writer tells us, we need to put our focus on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We need to look to Jesus as we run the race. Hebrews 12. Paul tells us we need to put our focus on the things that are not seen. Look to them. Because when we shift our focus to the reward of eternity, to the new home that's awaiting us, it'll provide us with encouragement to endure. We need to have something to look forward to. And we have God. We have a home in heaven. We have a place away from all of this. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. We'll start reading in verse 13, but just remember, this is the book that talks about Enoch. It talks about Abel. It talks about Abraham. It talks about Sarah. It talks about Jacob. It talks about all of those that we look at in the Old Testament. We see their stories and how God blessed them because they were His followers. But note in verse 13, all these died in faith without receiving the promises. What they put their hope into was not something they could see. But having seen them, the promises, and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. It sounds a lot like what Jesus told His apostles in John chapter 14, doesn't it? I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go prepare a place for you, I'll come again and take you there. Abraham received promises from God, and they were temporal promises. Some of them. Great nation. This land. Abraham never received that land. What Abraham got out of the land of Canaan, he bought for a burial place for his family. What Jacob received of the land of Canaan, he bought for a burial place for his family. But their descendants, they received the land of promise. But that promise wasn't just temporal. Remember, the promises made to Abraham included, through you, through your seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed. And that promise reaches out to Christ. And Christ told us that the place we're looking for, the place He's preparing, is with His Father. As the Hebrew writer says, a better country, a heavenly one. That's what we're looking for. And one day, the difficulty and struggle of this life, we will fly away from and go to be at home with God in the city He's prepared for us. And focusing on that can help us get through our struggle. That's exactly what the book of Revelation is doing for those seven churches in Asia, the brethren there. It's giving them something to focus on to help them get through the difficulties and struggles they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. Paul told the Philippian brethren, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. Is your struggle physical ailments, deterioration of the body? Paul says, don't worry about it. You've got a perfect one waiting for you. All you got to do is remain faithful to God. We'll be changed from this temporal body to a body like Christ. In 1 Thessalonians, we've referenced this passage multiple times in lessons. The brethren there in Thessalonica were having some difficulties. They were concerned because some of those who had believed had already died and Jesus hadn't returned yet. What's going to happen to them? And Paul says, don't worry. Don't worry about that, because those who are asleep, you shouldn't grieve as those who have no hope. Don't grieve over those brethren, because we have hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Remind yourself regularly that those who are your kinfolks who have passed on, who are children of God, they're already taken care of. They'll be with the Lord before you are. Now, don't take that as a definite timing thing, that they're going to get to the Lord and then it's going to be 30 minutes or 30 seconds or whatever before we get with the Lord. When the end comes, everybody will know the Lord is here. But the point Paul is making is, if you die in the Lord, you have assurance of being with the Lord when the end of the world comes. So what we have to do is make sure we're faithful to God. And remembering that there is a blessed place waiting for us. A home. Better than any home we might find here upon this earth. I don't know how many of y'all had grandmothers like I did, but going to grandmother's house, that was the best place to be. One grandmother, you could watch whatever she would let you. You could watch all kinds of stuff on TV. She had cable. We didn't have cable at home growing up. You could watch all kinds of stuff, and you could stay up late watching stuff too. Other grandmother, she had all the kinds of food you want. If she didn't have it, she'd go get it. King dongs, ding dongs, ice cream sandwiches, pecan pie. Always look forward to going to grandmother's house. But I tell you what, grandmother's house is going to pale in comparison to the blessing of being with God for eternity. That's what we have looking forward. If we'll keep our eye on the goal, one day, one glad morning, I will fly away. I will fly away from the darkness and the bondage that surrounds me in this world. I will fly away from the struggle and sorrow that I have to endure continually. I will fly away to a new life for all eternity. I'll fly away. Oh, glory! I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah! By and by, I'll fly away. Because death is just a new beginning. Death is the gateway to eternity with the Creator. Those who wait for the Lord, Isaiah tells us, will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. We have a song we listen to on Sunday sometimes. One of the phrases in that song gets to me every now and then. And it has to do with what Isaiah is saying here in Isaiah 40 and verse 31. The phrase is, I will sing and never get tired. Can you imagine? I know some of y'all like to sing a lot. You take every opportunity to sing. Some of you, even good enough, you can write your own songs to sing. But you love to sing. But I've not met anybody here on this earth yet that didn't eventually get too tired to be able to sing. Or their voice worn out. When we get there, in that life, with the Creator, it will be a blessed life full of all that we've ever wondered about God. And of all the images we have that we apply to heaven, the one I know for certain is that we're going to sing praises to God forever. We will be in His presence forever and we will sing praises to God. Paul tells the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 50, I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Think about that for a minute. That means in heaven we're imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when the perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? It continues there for a few more verses. Paul says one of the blessings that we have is no longer will we inhabit this perishable body, this body that has aches and pains and difficulties and struggles. We will be in the likeness of Christ. We will be in an imperishable, an immortal, a spiritual body that will not have any of the frailties and difficulties that this life has. And it will last for all eternity. What a blessed reminder. One day I will fly away to a new life in eternity. That should refresh us as we struggle through the pathway of life. One day we will be loosed from the earth and we will soar into the bliss of heaven. Peter tells us that it's going to be a triumphal entry to those that belong to the Lord. I know some folks in the past that they've kind of expressed, well, if I make it to heaven, it's just going to be barely. That's the wrong kind of attitude. Peter didn't say some of y'all are going to walk in through the big gate at the front and some of y'all are just barely going to make it through the servant's entrance. Peter said, those that belong to God will walk triumphantly through into the place prepared. And oh, what a place. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, John tells us in Revelation 21. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell with among them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. if we have a picture of heaven anywhere in Scripture, that's the closest thing to it I've found. That and the image of the throne rooms that we've seen in John's descriptions. Now, we'll discuss what all this might be talking about in our Wednesday night class when we get to chapter 21, which we're not far off of. So if you want to discuss and talk about this, come back on Wednesday night for the rest of the month of June. We'll get to it before too long. But can you imagine a place where there is no sorrow? There's no hurting. There's no loss. There's no injury, no death, no mourning, no pain and suffering. I know some of us, some of you I should say, would probably be glad to have just one day that you didn't hurt somewhere. Just one day. Well, if you can hang on faithful, some glad morning when this life is o'er, you'll fly away. Ladies and gentlemen, that song is a song of hope, a song of encouragement, and a song that we ought to carry in our hearts, that we ought to remind ourselves of. And don't get me wrong, that's not the only song. We got a lot of songs. And the point of songs like this is to remind us that we're looking for something better than here. We're promised something better than here. And like the Hebrew writer and the Apostle Paul tell us, we need to put our focus on where we're going rather than getting bombarded by where we are. We need to constantly be reaching toward heaven. That means looking to the Word of God to find what God wants us to do and then following it to the best of our ability every day of our life. And when we struggle, remind yourself what the prize is. What's the prize? What am I going toward? If you find there's sin in your life, you need to correct it. If you're not a child of God, you need to become one, because there is no hope of eternity with God if you're not in His family. You need to become a part of His family. Confessing your belief in Jesus as the Son of God and His death, burial, and resurrection is becoming our Savior. You can turn from who you were to become who God wants you to be. Hear the Word, believe the Word, confess, and repent. And you can be buried in baptism and have your sins washed away, just like so many we read of in the book of Acts. If you've done those things in the past and you look this morning at your life and you recognize that you have not remained faithful to the Lord, even though you're part of His family, you have strayed from His will, we encourage you to come back, just like so many of the prophets encouraged Israel to turn away from their sins and come back to God. John tells us that if we will confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we will repent and turn to God, we can be whole with Him and have hope of eternity. If you recognize this morning that you're in need of answering the call of the gospel, we encourage you to come. Always stand and sing for your encouragement.